Hey Josh, welcome. So this is going to be a, I think, a favorite topic. It's a great point in time to start talking about AI, because there's the question that comes up all the time. Negotiators ask me, is AI going to start negotiating for us? Is one AI going to talk to their AI and come up with a great deal? And I guess I always laugh, hopefully not impolitely. The answer, of course, is no. It's not going to do that. It doesn't have that capability. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about the AI tool we've put together to assist specifically with no negotiations. Because what AI can do when it's properly structured and focused, it can make you more disciplined, more prepared, and sharper at the table. But it will always be something that sits there behind you, helping you, not taking the lead.
Yeah, Gary, great point. And I think our conversation will be really important to focus on how might you use AI alongside your negotiation preparation practice, your negotiation organizational capability building. There's lots of great uses for it, and we're going to try and stress some of those. And we do want to, of course, put those words of caution up, because if you just go into the big blue ocean of generative AI, it will try to please you and will find all kinds of crazy answers. So in order to deal with that, we've created our own contained place that we trust for negotiation, that our clients use for negotiation. It's named the same, Strategic Negotiation GPT. It's on the OpenAI platform. But what we've done there is we've given it significant constraints to stay within the boundaries of what best evidence-based practices and approaches around negotiation are. So we fed it things like the negotiation assessment tool, the capability model, the preparation tool, the reflection tool. And again, it doesn't have to stop at any of those things, but it really is designed to take those best practices and apply it with your unique circumstances of your organization or of your specific negotiation. And it does those things incredibly well. If you start to try and have it become your negotiator, or any AI to become your negotiator, I would say to put the big yellow flashing light up at that point.
Yeah, I'll tell you just a brief story that illustrates this. So, a colleague of mine was negotiating. He was representing a lawyer in an employment case, and his client came in to his office and said, "I've run my case through AI, through ChatGPT, and my case is worth $1.5 million." And the lawyer nearly fell on the floor because, of course, his case was worth nearly none of that. Well, I shouldn't say that. It was still a large case, but it wasn't even in the two ballparks away. And you've probably heard the old expression from early computer days, garbage in, garbage out. It all depends on what questions you ask and what guardrails you put up and what sources you want that AI to help you with. And in this case, of course, this client who knew nothing about the employment world or the employment field fed in a bunch of erroneous assumptions and got the answer he sure was looking for. My case is worth $1.5 million. Now go get it for me. And it was simply wrong from the ground up.
Right. So I think the foundations remain that you have to have your organizational capability in place in order to take advantage of AI as an enhancement to what you do. And you have to have knowledge as an individual in order to enhance your practice around negotiation as well. But there are a number of areas where it could be really helpful. And I think we both are quite optimistic about all the ways in which someone should consider and should start using AI if they're not already. One to start is around this whole idea of diagnosis and capability. We've talked in other episodes about the negotiation assessment tool and our negotiation capability model. And our GPT in particular, Strategic Negotiation, does a really good job of trying to figure out, if we apply the NAT to our organization, where are we faring? So it can automate that process for you a lot. It has a checklist built in. It can apply it. You can feed it information. You can have a conversation with it. You can start to figure out, do we have a definition of best deal? Are outcomes tracked beyond price? Do we have a standard prep process? If so, what could we do to enhance that process? How can we make it better? and it will place you on the capability model and generate a roadmap to help you. And of course, you should evaluate that roadmap, see if it's resonating, figure out what's realistic or unrealistic, given your resources, push back. But what a great partner it is, outside of perhaps calling you, Gary, and you've got only so many hours in a week. It's a pretty good companion to have as you're trying to navigate your own capability building.
Yeah. So we've designed this AI to effectively apply the negotiation assessment tool. And if it says you're at level one, you're in ad hocery at this point, then the AI, the GPT, might prescribe things like a standardized 20-minute pre-brief where you set roles, responsibilities. You make sure the whole team's on the same page. It may prompt you to set up a basic concession guardrail, meaning what are our priority items? What are deal breakers? What can we be flexible on in order to gain higher priorities? And it can help you identify alignment around incentives. These are each small steps, but each one lifts the capability and the competency up to a higher level.
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. And for those who are deeply immersed in trying to move their negotiation capability, it will be a great partner on that. So it will take tools you've built and figure out how to enhance them further, given things like your strategy and your vision, right? And what you're trying to accomplish. It will look at your incentive structures and figure out, are they aligned with your organizational incentives and what you're trying to do there? It will look through all of that and give you very prescriptive application of our framework to your unique circumstances in your organization. It will look at data sets from your past negotiations and help you find trends. It will do all of that very, very well. So one great area to be spending time with AI is moving capability. The other area to really think about is around your individual preparation. So thinking about using it as a partner for your strategic preparation tool. And here it's very proactive. So it will do what you and I often do. A lot of my former students say, well, text me or call me. Sometimes they'll get me with my dog out for a walk. And in a few minutes, we can often unpack what are the couple key questions that they're not considering before they go to the table to figure out how can they be much better prepared to achieve the outcomes that they're looking for, to be more interest focused. Well, this has that type of personality. It doesn't do a good job of walking the dog, but it does do a very good job of asking these kind of questions. So it'll look at things like BATNA, WATNA, issues, option standards, force you to frame issues broadly, generate creative options, tie them to benchmarks. If you're having a blind spot around concession strategy, it'll help you to think about that so you don't, go too quickly or maybe exceed where your floor is or not be aspirational enough towards your ceiling. It'll also think about process design. It'll even, for those of you who have the wherewithal to practice, you could do a recorded negotiation, feed the transcript into it, and it will help you figure out different phrasing wording that would be more interest-based, more option generating, more inventing without committing, some of these key concepts that are very effective in negotiation. It will coach you through that. So you can think of it as both a preparation tool and a coach.
Yeah, that's pretty effective and useful, especially for high value negotiation. So it's really like a coach, saying to you, watching you and saying, don't go in there half prepared. Here's a checklist, and here's what's missing. Do that before you walk in there.
Absolutely. So we've covered the organizational side. We've talked about the preparation side. And believe it or not, for those of you who feel anxiety of what it means to negotiate at the table, it's a really great real-time support as well. Gary and I have both been advisors and key negotiators. We know what it's like to prop someone up at the table. Well, it's a little less obtrusive to have your GPT by your side helping you a bit here. So it will do everything as a quiet partner from interpreting language into interests. So when they say our board can't move on price, the GPT helps translate. Well, what's the interest? Is it risk management? Is it budget cycles? Is it cash flow? Is it reputation with stakeholders? What's going on here? Gives you some curiosities that then you can probe and better understand. So you're not just accepting a position as fact, but you're trying to figure out what the underlying interest is. It will help you generate creative packages. Once you start to uncover those interests, It's quite good at trying to figure out all the different ways you might be responsive to it, especially if you've informed it on past similar negotiations. So you might look at contingent options, faster delivery at a premium, slower at a discount, or shared logistics. So we're not fighting over the future, but in fact, we're going to have contingencies that are quite thoughtful and responsive to the concerns at the table. We can think about stress testing agreements. You and I, Gary, often tell people try and break it before you leave the negotiation. That feels counterintuitive, but it's quite smart. So we can do a lot of what ifs. What happens if the market shifts? What happens if volume drops 20%? It starts to figure out the fragility that's already there, whether we were aware of it or not. So it can stress test it for you in really meaningful ways. Of course, it can provide administrative support. So this may go beyond even just our tool, but you can have it create transcripts. You can have it help you with action items, things you committed to, help people keep people honest, summarize calls if you're doing it through that format. So it's a very good administrative support, of course. And then aligning back tables. It'll prompt you to do this, but you should also engage with it actively to figure out who are the other stakeholders within your organization that you need to be negotiating with and to prepare for those just as you would prepare for the external negotiations as well.
Yeah, and that's huge. Some of those points you've mentioned are huge because so many negotiations don't collapse at the table, but back at headquarters when the deal can't get an internal sign-off because they see the deal quite differently. And GPT, can shorten that loop. I'm very fond of saying the toughest negotiation is typically not across the table, it's in your caucus room. Because if that hasn't been done well, if your team and your back office, the senior management that is eventually going to sign off, if that alignment isn't there, then that's where the hardest negotiation takes place. Across the table, if that's all in alignment, it actually is much, much easier. And the AI, the GPT, can really help you make sure those alignments are in place and give you plenty of options within the framework, within what the best deal means to you once you've defined it within those parameters. It can help you really generate good options to keep you on track.
Yeah, and Gary, there's a whole other side too, where you've talked a lot about in your writing about some of the cognitive biases and some of the emotional processes that humans go through. Well, here's where the AI not being human really earns its keep, because it isn't going to fall into some of those biases. It has its own limitations, and we've talked about those at the beginning, but it is a very good cognitive interpreter. It can do cognitive empathy when you no longer have the ability to do any empathy because you're feeling frustrated at the table. It can continue to probe for the other side's interests and encourage you to do so. It can see where there's been progress made when you're not feeling it, right? It can do a lot of those things. So I think, you've been great over the years about introducing some of those human limitations, but now this is a good way to help prop up the human a bit too.
Oh, it's actually such a good screen and acid test for each negotiator. One of the biggest cognitive biases at the table we tend to call the law of reciprocity, and we have this unconscious need to reciprocate. It's why many negotiations go with one party making an offer, the other makes a small concession, then I concede something, you concede something, and we keep moving. But implicit in that is, if you made a move and I came back with the same offer I made before without a move, we call that an up yours offer, and it almost ends the negotiation at that point. But the other side of the coin is what's risky. Smart negotiators unconsciously sometimes offer something that is of exactly no value to them, but they expect a value in return, and we will feel pressured to get engaged in this. We both have to be giving something here. AI makes a step back and can very clearly say, well, that concession they just made is worthless to us. So we can respectfully go, thank you, we don't need that, and not accept it. And that frees us up to make sure we're staying aligned with our deal rather than unconsciously giving in to some of these biases that you mentioned, Josh, because AI is not subject to those.
It's a great point. And look, often our communication, sometimes, of course, it happens in a room at a table. Sometimes it happens on Zoom. or other video conferencing. Other times it's happening by email. Wow, when you're talking about email, one use that's really powerful is put a sentence in, put an email in, and say, hey, here's how I'm interpreting it, but what other possible interpretations are there of what's being intended by the sentence? It will open your mind to less negative ways of attributing to the other side of what their intent was when they made that statement, and gives you at least a curiosity to go ask and confirm.
Yeah, what a great point. Yeah, for sure.
So the other place I think is very exciting is around reflection and learning. And here we're talking about the post-negotiation tool. You might be really fatigued by the time you do that. And of course, we've got checklists that you can bring and start to guide you through this. It will help prompt it and in some ways facilitate that reflection. So you might look at what was your action plan? What did you actually end up with in terms of your final agreement? Where did you deviate from your prep? So was it a preparation problem? Was it an execution problem? Looking at some of the root causes of those variances, looking at early warning signs that are missed. Of course, looking at even some of the behavioral application of negotiation theory. So how did you talk in it? Well, did you sequence it correctly? Did you move too quick to option generations when you should have still been exploring interests? All these kind of things, it's really good at helping you. And then, of course, creating some summary where you can create that database or learning that isn't just for yourself, but it's for your entire organization. So it is moving your capability as an organization just by doing that reflection and learning.
Yeah. And then the next team, as we've said before, doesn't have to start from scratch. They're starting from three steps down the road. And that is that's how we get extremely good at the negotiation process. We've got the learning kind of baked in, and that's how we move capability-wise up the capability model step by step.
Yeah, for those who are afraid of AI, I want to give you a little assurance here that while AI may not be the best open researcher in the world, it's really good about applying defined frameworks into unique circumstances. And so the task of negotiation, when built around good negotiation frameworks, and then you give it good information about your specific organization or your negotiation, it does that really well. This is not an area where you have to be particularly concerned around hallucination or some of the other problems that we see when you're just asking to be a research partner or go out and be a search engine where it gives you lots of information that could be quite wrong. Here, it's applying it, and it does it very, very well. So this is what it's really built for, is this type of application. So I would encourage people in this context to use it freely and readily. And I also want to assuage the fear that it's going to replace you. AI isn't taking the seat at the table. It's sitting behind you, next to you. It's translating, it's stress testing, it's documenting, it's aligning, it's a partner. But it's not a zero-sum game here. It's not going to take your job as a negotiator away from you.
No, and remember, when we're talking about AI, we're talking about the strategic negotiation AI that we've built around the framework and the concepts of the book so that it is focused and it will help guide you extremely well. Because if your system right now, your negotiating system is weak, AI will make that clear extremely quickly to you. And if your system is strong, AI makes it stronger. In both cases, it just keeps moving you and prompting you to move up the capability model. That's the difference.
Yes, I've got my MBA students, my law students, I've got corporate clients, I've got folks in the NBA, I've got folks in different leagues using this tool. Gary, I know you've got a lot of folks using it as well. I would encourage people to use it. We put it out there as a public service. We don't make any money on it. We just get the satisfaction of knowing people are negotiating much better by using it.
Thanks, Josh, again, and we will talk again soon. Take
Sounds
care.
good. Thank you.